This is Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous, the radio program that challenges the anti-aging cultural narrative for women in midlife. Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous is produced at CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus-based community station at Simon Fraser University, which is located on the unceded ancestral homelands of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem peoples. We broadcast a new episode on the second Wednesday of the month between 10 and 11 a.m. I am Robin Erickson, and I talk with women who are aging outside the beauty myth and into their power, honoring their experience and celebrating their strength. This is episode 10, I believe, of Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. Welcome to the show. We had a little bit of technical difficulties there off the top. Anyways, we're off and running, and I'm excited to have my guest today. I've got Ninka van Hasselt on the telephone because we are social distancing. Ninka is a mother of two young adults, an English language teacher, and a bathroom mirror comedian, which I wanted to throw in there because I loved that and it was really funny. Welcome to the show, Ninka.
Hi, good to be here. bathroom mirror comedian comment was kind of like, I think I'm hilarious, but I'm not sure that other people think that.
I think we all have that, you know, I find this really funny, but I'm not sure if you do. And some will and some won't. You know, that's the reality of comedy, even for the people who make their professional living as comedians. You know, some of them I think are really funny and some of them I don't think are funny at all.
Exactly.
So, we are being responsibly social distancing. How are you doing in this time of coronavirus?
Well, it's really a weird time. I left my husband just over a year ago, and my kids still live with him. So I've been by myself in a tiny little garage suite in East Van. And you know, I talked to my landlady and some friends at the safe distance, but just that more intimate human contact is something that's really missing. And so, yeah, it's hard sometimes to stay positive and upbeat. I think we all struggle with that. I think we're all having issues with that. So sometimes you kind of have to talk yourself off the ledge a little bit, if you know what I mean.
For sure. Yep. And it happens kind of in a weird time frame, right? Like you're okay, and then you wake up and you're like, oh my god, what's this world we're living in?
Yeah.
You know, and then we're okay, and
yeah. Well, we're all the whole world, actually. I just read this yesterday. We are all undergoing trauma, and we're in the thick of it right now, and different people deal with it very differently, and we don't know how we deal with trauma until we are in it. So I think we have to be forgiving of ourselves and also of others. You know, yesterday I was in the grocery store, and it's just a really weird vibe, and everybody's staying away from each other, and I just thought, you know, we want to try and still be friendly and be nice about it. But then, you know, I'd been waiting in line for a while for the cashier, and she called me over, and this guy cut in front of me. And I was super snarky. I was like, excuse me, I have a back of the lines there. And he got his back up and kind of snapped back at me. And then as I was checking out, I really felt terrible for losing my temper with him. And as I was leaving the store, he was also leaving. And so I went up to him safe distance, of course. And I said, excuse me, sir, I just really want to apologize for being such a cow back there. It's just, you know, these times are weird. And I kind of just gestured around and I said, everybody's. And I almost started crying, actually. Tears sprung to my eyes. And he looked at me and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I know. Thanks for apologizing. I really didn't realize I was cutting in line. And so then we're kind of both going, have a very nice day. And we're avoiding eye contact because we would both have lost it at that moment. But I was so happy and that I apologized to him because I didn't want to leave that bad taste in his mouth. And I think that's something we all have to remember, that we may all be short-tempered, but we also need to be forgiving of each other and ourselves in this time.
For sure. Yeah. And I love that story. And just how we can't forget about our humanity, right? Even though
exactly.
this whole thing makes us really feel like our humanity is someplace else.
Yeah. And yeah, I have to admit, I do. I lose patience when I see people who seem oblivious to the social distancing requirements. And, you know, when I go for a walk in Trout Lake, when a jogger runs right by me and I can smell their coffee breath, you know, and I want to yell at them, you're too close. But, you know, it's a really weird time. It's unprecedented. My 19-year-old son came for a little distance visit last night, and he's really struggling as well. And he's being better than a lot of his friends around the same age about social distancing. But he's really struggling too, and I think we really all are struggling with this.
Yeah, for sure. This show, Triple Threat Feminist 50-ish and Fabulous, it exists because I love talking to women who are 50-ish about their lives and the experiences that they've had. But, you know, in some ways, what I'm really curious and what I'm really sort of digging into are some of the qualities that have allowed us to get to this point in life where we do have this strength to mine,
mm-hmm.
you know, because these issues, and, you know, whether we call it coronavirus or whether we call it, you know, some other thing that has challenged us to sort of step up to the plate and show up as our best selves, it takes a certain kind of oomph, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious to hear from you, what your triple threat might be. Like, what are those three things that you bring to the table in situations that really kind of help you show up?
Well, I think what I mentioned earlier, the ability to be, I guess it's humility, the ability to be self-aware enough to know when I've screwed up and when I need to step back and apologize to someone. But that humility, also that patience, and I guess patience is a double-edged sword because I'm going through menopause right now, and sometimes I really don't have any of it. But I like to think that in my old age, I am getting a little bit more wise and patient. But sometimes in the moment that something happens, I'm still not. But I think one of my strengths definitely is that I hope that I'm self-aware enough to know when to step back and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, that humility. And I don't know if that's a threat or not, but it's a strength for sure, I think. And, yeah, the triple threat, I don't know. I'm a pretty good English teacher, but I discovered last week, 2 weeks ago, I was still teaching online. I realized that the online forum is not for me. I need to be in a classroom. That's where my strength is. And I'm not famous or anything, but I know that I have had, an influence, a profound influence on some of my former students. I know I had one student from Brazil who had just finished law school, and she was going to go practice law. And she was in my class for 6 months in an intensive study program. And she went back to Brazil. And 6 months later, I heard from her, and she told me that she changed her profession, and she's an English teacher now because she was inspired by my classes and my lessons. So, you know, that was a big influence. And I've also had had another student a bunch of years ago who was in a very difficult program, and she was struggling, but she was a hard worker, and I encouraged her to no end. And she was in my class probably 4 or 5 years ago, and her father contacted me not that long ago to say, you know, we all have those people in our lives who change the course of our life in some way, in a profound way. And I want you to know that you were that person for my daughter. And so that's something, you know, I was a little verklempt. I got a little tear in my eye.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a poet or an artist or, you know, a social media influencer or anything like that. But I think in my own way, in my profession, I have had a positive impact on students. So who knows how far that impact reaches, but it's nice to get that feedback now and then.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a third?
I'm not sure. I try my best to be optimistic, and that has always been kind of I'm generally pretty good at looking at the bright side of things, and but I'm in a stage of my life now where I really feel like I'm reinventing myself. You know, it's a new step for me. The last 25 years, I was married, I raised children, and now I'm at kind of a crossroads and realizing that if I want to, you know, make some big changes, now is the time to do that. I've always thought I'd want to be a writer, and as an English teacher, I'm not sure my school will survive this crisis if the school is still going to exist in another 12 or 18 months. So now is kind of it's kind of an impetus to really push me to write more and to see if I actually can do this So yeah, I feel like I'm reinventing myself, and I guess that's something we do at different stages throughout life. But yeah, I don't know if that's a strength or not. It's more just a life stage that I'm trying to get through with a smile on my face most of the time, I guess.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think it is a strength. I think definitely being able to see the silver lining in situations is such a gift. Mm-hmm. And also the ability to reinvent ourselves and not be so attached to the person that we are or that we were or that we mm-hmm. could be, and to really let the dynamic unfold.
Exactly. You know?
And there's something about this time, especially in women's lives, that we feel particularly fueled mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so partly that's, you know, how this show came to be, because I recognized that in myself and was really, really curious to hear how other women were feeling about it, but also navigating that space, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that occurred to me in thinking about it is that there's part of what's called for in reinventing ourselves is daring.
Yeah.
And so I want to know if you consider yourself daring. Like, is that something that you attribute?
Well, honestly, leaving my husband was a daring thing because, you know, not to go into what went wrong in that relationship too much, but because I was very controlled by other people's expectations. And when I left, I feel like that was the bravest thing I've done in a really long time. And so am I daring? Yeah. And am I trying to push my own boundaries? Yeah. And I'm trying to take responsibility for my actions and my decisions and push forward you know, motivate myself to keep being daring. And, you know, hopefully by the end of this year, I will have sent some things to publishers and I, you know, that's daring. You know, letting someone else read what I wrote. I stopped writing for a long time because it was kind of on a back burner, but that's something that I'm rediscovering now. And, yeah, I'm not brave enough to let anyone read it yet, but hopefully by the end of the year I'll have something.
Ninka, the new Shakespeare.
Well, I don't know about Shakespeare. Irma Bombeck, maybe.
She sold millions.
I know, right? Yeah.
And, you know, if you're paying attention to any of the social media memes out there, if you're not using this time to write the great American or great Canadian novel, you're just not stepping up to the plate, which I'm trying very hard to not feel that pressure just to produce in this spare time. But, you know, there is something about, you know, having the time and being holed up to actually focus on some of the things that we have put on the back burner, right? And that are kind of burning holes into our dreams.
Yeah. Well, you know, Isaac Newton invented calculus when he was quarantined during the plague. So, you know, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel or invent, you know, a new branch of math or anything like that. But hopefully I'll be able to write some prose that other people will enjoy reading.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You know, realistic expectations here. I'm not expecting to write the next bestseller.
But you never know.
Yeah.
But you never know.
You never know.
The idea of daring and how daring is sort of playing out in your world now as, you know, a woman in middle age, does it feel differently than daring did when you were a younger woman?
Yeah, I guess so. I think, looking back, I didn't realize it at the time, but I think when I was in my 20s, I was pretty darn naive. I thought I was wise and, you know, I had traveled a lot and met a lot of people. But now with hindsight, I think, man, I was not nearly as wise or as self-aware as I thought I was. And you know how we're all still kind of embarrassed by our, you know, adolescent journals and things like that. I still sometimes shudder a little bit when I think back to how I was in my 20s. So it does feel different to be daring. You know, in my 20s, being daring was accepting a job offer in Poland and getting on a plane and going to live in Poland for a year. That's where I started my teaching experience back in 91. So when I was that age, being daring was traveling and going to places and putting myself out there and getting these experiences. And now at my age, I think being daring is somehow more internal for me. It's more of a psychological struggle as well. Being daring can mean so many different things. You know, these days it's daring to go to the grocery store, to go shopping, you know? I think the big distinction is that when I was younger, being daring meant impressing others with the things that I did, whereas now being daring is more a challenge to myself, if that makes sense.
It does, and I love it. And it resonates with me in the way that you say it, you know, because when I think back on my own life journey, definitely daring felt more like going and doing these things that you could point to that, you know, might look brave.
Exactly.
You know, like traveling or, you know, bungee jumping or whatever. But now it feels more like personally and genuinely showing up.
Yes.
What really means something to me. And how that really matters. You know, interestingly, in this time of the coronavirus that we're living in, it's calling upon us both in the time that we're spending with ourselves, and if we do live with others, to really know what that looks like and what that means.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's this unprecedented time for us to really explore how this fits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How we fit on ourselves.
Yeah. 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 And I think, like, for me, I mean, I have good days and bad days, but this isolation in many ways is a positive thing for me at this stage in my life. Whereas when I look at my kids, they had so many plans. You know, they were planning to go traveling and they wanted to go do summer work in Parks Canada and all these things. And all of this is now suddenly canceled, and I think they really feel adrift. You know, they just don't know what's next, you know, where they're not in school. They were planning to start school. My son is going to flight school, and even these things have kind of been put on a back burner to a certain degree. And I feel like my kids are really rudderless right now, whereas I don't feel that way. I mean, I'm not happy every day I wake up because of the situation I find myself in, but at the same time, I feel grounded enough that nobody's certain how the world is going to look in another 2-3 years, but I don't feel rudderless in the same way that people in their late teens and early 20s feel, I think. And I think that's a huge difference.
Right.
With how different generations are dealing with this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think this is a good time to take a pause and listen to one of the songs that you suggested that we play today.
All right.
Which one shall we hear first?
A song by a local band, Mother Mother, called Get Up, has been something that I've been doing crazy little dances to by myself in my house to motivate myself. And it's a little bit of a kick in the pants. It's a very poppy, positive song. And it's motivational, and it helps me to be daring, I think. So that's the song I would like to listen to first.
Okay, that's fantastic. My guest in the studio on the phone is Ninka Van Hasselt, and we're going to just get up out of our chairs and boogie along. Have a little
Let's
virtual dance party here on on Intravenous, and then I'll be back with my guest right after this.
king. You wanna make it, don't wanna fake it, you wanna levitate. You want love, want truth, wanna feel brand new. You wanna do, do, do. You got dreams, you got dreams, you got dreams, you got dreams. But there's something in between, man, and you're stuck there underneath them. So get up.
Welcome back to Triple Threat Feminist 50-ish and Fabulous. My name is Robin Erickson, and I'm joined by telephone with my guest, Ninka Van Hasselt. Are you still there?
I am still here.
Great. Even though I'm, always familiar with using the technology, I'm always a little, you know, did you leave when I can't see the whites of your eyes?
I know, there's still a connection. That was one of my my issues when I was teaching using Zoom a few weeks ago, is that my Wi-Fi is a little dodgy where I am, and so. Aside from just using the technology and being able to, you know, pull up the pages from the workbook on the screen for all the students, I was still learning all of that. And then on top of that, my Wi-Fi and my VPN kept pooping out on me. And it was extremely frustrating. And the technological side of things is something that doesn't really interest me, and so I'm not very good at it, to be honest.
Yeah, I struggle with that myself. Just one of those things I have trouble wrapping my head around. Before the song break, we were talking about daring and how that does play out in your life and how it has played out in your life. And I want to move and dig into curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, because I think there's interplay between the two things.
And, you know, curiosity can mean a lot of different things. Do you feel like you're curious? Do you feel like you're curious about certain things, all things?
Yes. With the disclaimer that I'm not terribly curious about the technology. Something that has really been driven home to me in the last year and a half or so is just how I'm showing up in the world for others. And I think that's really changed since I've been on my own, and how I'm there for others. I'm curious. Sometimes, you know, in your own head, you don't really feel older when you're 52 than you do when you're 32. But the way the world perceives you is quite different. And that's really been driven home to me, you know, in the last few years, how, hey, you know, I don't have to worry when I walk by construction sites anymore, because I don't get catcalled anymore, because I'm a woman of that age now where I don't know if it's respect or just wrinkles that, you know, I don't get those catcalls anymore. And it's made me more comfortable in the world. I'm not looking over my shoulder as much anymore. You know, I haven't been, you know, sexually harassed by a stranger in quite a while. And it's very liberating. And I think this goes back to the daring as well. It permits me to be more of myself, because I'm not scared of others' judgments or harassment, for that matter. And that's something that really, that curiosity is just how I'm appearing in the world and how that's different, even though in my head I don't feel that different from the way I felt 20 years ago. Does that make sense?
It so does. And I'm nodding wildly here in the studio. You can't see me, which is unfortunate. But, you know, being able to be in the world, not necessarily invisibly, but without that judgment and the catcalling and the harassments and, you know, various other things that sometimes young women are very like, we don't even know how accustomed we are to protecting ourselves against that until it's not an issue anymore.
Exactly. In January, I walked by a construction site and I realized that, hey, you know what? I'm not going to cross the street, and I am just going to smile at that dude. And he didn't make a sexual comment, which, you know, I would have been afraid to do that a decade ago. So I guess it's curiosity about how the world sees me now, because I think I see myself in a somewhat, I mean, you can't be entirely objective, of course, but I think I know how I am, and it makes me, you know, the curiosity comes from how others' perceptions of me have changed, and how can I use that change in perception to my benefit, to you know, to show up in the world in a good way for others. And I think, you know, when I first started teaching English, I kind of fell into it. It is not necessarily my life calling. But I always wondered, in the back of my head, I always thought, well, my students just like me because I make jokes and I'm cute. And now I know that I'm a good teacher, and they're not just saying that because I'm pretty and because I tell dad jokes, you know, like it's added to my confidence for sure, but it's made me look, it's changed my perspective. put it that way. So that makes me curious, you know, how do women of our age show up in society? And it's not something I ever thought about before, to be honest.
Well, and I think our generation is showing up in ways that our mothers weren't able to.
Yes.
Also, which is kind of an open door for us to reinvent what that looks like. You know, in a lot of ways, I feel in some ways that we're like a bridge generation that, you know, our mothers started something that was a really good legacy for us, but we've been able to work out of the home a lot more and have a lot more freedoms, a lot more flexibility in the public sphere than our mothers ever did. And our children now and that younger generation will have even more than we had. And so, you know, it's almost like we can't look at our mothers as that guide to what this age looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to kind of define it for ourselves.
Yeah, we have to redefine it for sure. And you mentioned we have more freedom than our mothers did, but I think on top of that freedom also comes more responsibility in many cases. And I think about, you know, single mothers, but also women in marriages where, you know, staying home and raising the kids is not really an option for most women anymore. Whereas for our mother's generation, that was still a choice they were able to make. Whereas, you know, in my marriage, I was the main steady bread earner. My ex-husband did a lot of contract work. And so he was self-employed. He didn't get benefits. He, you know, sometimes it was kind of a feast or famine thing. He would make good money when he had a contract, but then sometimes he wouldn't have a contract for 8 or 12 weeks. And then it was my steady income and the fact that my school's unionized, so I have benefits and, you know, pension contributions every year. So I was kind of the steady one. And that was a lot of responsibility on my shoulders, I felt. And I remember thinking, you know, my mom didn't have that responsibility. You know, my father was the main breadwinner. And later on, my father was an engineer and he quit his job and my parents had their own business. And my mom was, you know, she was definitely an equal partner. She did a lot of the business side of things. My dad was more the hired labor. That's what he called himself. So that changed for my mother, too, when she was in her late 30s, early 40s. Her, you know, her life was kind of upturned. But, I think that with that freedom also comes responsibility and pressure as well from society, from your family, from yourself.
Good to be responsible. As long as we can identify that responsibility belongs to us and that we're not becoming responsible for something that's out of our control, right?
Well, that's something else, you know, and that this probably comes more into the wisdom section of the conversation later, but you need to know where your own responsibility ends and that, you know, there are things that you're not responsible for as well. And I've had a few little I've had a few epiphanies about that in the past year. and that's freeing. That's liberating. When you know that, you know, you're not responsible for other people's feelings. I mean, you want to be nice, but you're also not responsible to make everyone feel good all the time at the cost of yourself.
Right.
So yeah, responsibility for so many things is something that changes at this age, I think, regardless of of what your marital status or your employment status is, we're at that age where, you know, often our kids are, you know, leaving the nest, so to speak. And so I think we're all reinventing ourselves and it's an interesting time in life. You know, there's so many transitions in life, and I feel like on the one hand, it's kind of frightening, but on the other hand, I feel more prepared to deal with this transition than perhaps I did when I was 13 and going through puberty, or when I was 30 and had young children at home, or, you know, throughout these stages. I feel like this is the one I'm really looking forward to, and I'm kind of jazzed about it, even though I have my bad days.
That's making me smile. Because it's easier to deal with when you feel a little jazzed about things.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? One of the things that I wonder about, you know, getting to a certain stage in life and having a bunch of life experience is how we manage to keep an open mind about things and how we keep from sort of feeling bored or jaded, seen that, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Do you fall into those traps, and how do you get yourself out?
Oh, definitely. I can be so cynical at times. And you know, sometimes it's harder than others to snap out of that. But I definitely, like I said, you know, you have your dark days where you're just like, oh, what's the point? But I do my best to try and stay optimistic. And that song that we just listened to, that's been my thing the last 2 weeks, where when I'm feeling down, I play that song and I dance around and it kind of gets me jazzed again. And I guess it's part of curiosity too, is just discovering how you can lift yourself out of your funks, because it's sometimes in the world the way it is today, it's really hard not to be cynical. You know, there's fake news everywhere, and Trump kind of started that, and it's definitely a propaganda tactic, but it seems like since he started saying that, there is more fake news, and you do have to fact-check things more carefully. And so it's very hard not to be cynical in the world sometimes. But you know, that's where music and friends and dreams come to play, where, you know, you use your strengths to get over those dark periods.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another music pause here. Speaking
All
of
right.
music and.
This is an Alanis Morissette song, so I guess it kind of dates me, but you all know how old I am now anyway. It's Alanis Morissette. It's a song called Thank You. And I remember when I first heard it, when that first came out in the 90s, I remember kind of rolling my eyes at it, thinking, oh, so introspective. But I was listening to it the other day, and it speaks to me more now than ever, because it speaks to wisdom and humility. And so it's an oldie, but like I say, it speaks to me today more than it did when it first was released. So that's why I chose Thank You by Alanis Morissette.
How about getting off of these antibiotics? How about stopping eating when I am full of? How about them
Alanis Morissette with a track called Thank You, and one of the song choices of my guest in the studio via telephone, Ninka Van Hasselt. You're listening to Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. And just before that song played, you were mentioning, Ninka, that part of what you realized is the wisdom that shines through in that song. And as I was listening, I was like, thank you, frailty. Thank you, consequence. Thank you, nothingness. Thank you, silence. She thanks all of these sort of traits and perspectives, right, that sometimes feel so itchy when we're impatient with ourselves.
Nice word to describe it. It's itchy. another line in that song that just really hit me like a slap in the face when I was listening to it about 2 weeks ago, where she says, how about me not blaming you for everything? And that just, you know, sometimes you need someone to just say that to you to go, oh, okay. And again, that plays into the humility and wisdom of, you know, that hopefully age does bring us in small increments. And sometimes I feel like I go two steps forward and one step back again. And that's why I chose that song. It's, you know, it's not exactly a good dance tune, but it really spoke to me recently. I hadn't heard the song in probably 15 or 20 years. And I listened to it again, and it kind of made the little hairs on the back of my neck stand up. So, So anyway, the wisdom, I think, just understanding of yourself and others, and self-awareness, but also how to motivate yourself and small steps you can take to take responsibility and take it away from, take responsibility for yourself, but not for others, in the sense that, you know, I'm not responsible for someone else feeling bad because of their perceived slights or whatever. that, you know, you can be responsible for treating people kindly and fairly, but you're not responsible for their emotion.
Right, for their reaction or their response.
We're
responsible for our own reactions and responses.
Exactly. So taking responsibility where you need to, how about me not blaming you for everything, but also not taking responsibility for the things that are not in our power to be responsible for, right? Like, you're not responsible for other people's emotions in the sense that, it's hard to put it into words. I mean, obviously you have to treat people kindly, and if you're not nice, then you are responsible for someone else's negative emotions. But at the same time, you don't have to be responsible for someone else's mental health. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to take responsibility for that. They, you know, others can't put that on you, and you shouldn't let them put that responsibility on you. Because how someone else feels about something is their experience. I don't know if I'm putting that in a clear way.
I think it's one of those things that sometimes feels so glaringly obvious, but to actually work it out in practice is really the challenge, right? And to walk that line where we can both hold compassion for ourselves and others and feel the ability to respond in our own capacity, but not feel like we're here to rescue or solve or, you know, do things that are outside of our capacities and capabilities. Just in the last sort of minute or two of the show, I want to give you the last word and ask you where you hold wisdom. You know, what do you think you're wise about?
Well, we've been talking about, you know, daring and curiosity and wisdom almost as three separate things. And I don't think they're separate. I think they're all kind of one big soup. My wisdom comes from my own experience and my reading and my interaction with others. You know, we go through transitional stages throughout our life, and I have to admit that, like I said before, this is a stage where I'm, on the one hand, I'm a little terrified, but on the other hand, I'm quite jazzed about it. And I'm, you know, trying to remain optimistic about possibilities and opportunities that may present themselves during this really weird time in history. I, you know, your other programs that you've done was before this whole COVID thing hit. And I think this is really just, it's really thrown the whole world for a loop mentally and physically and financially on so many different levels. But I guess the main takeaway for me is that, that humility and self-awareness and responsibility are all a big part of where I'm at right now. And I think where many people our age are at right now is that we have to, you know, post-kids or post-education or, you know, nearing retirement, we all have to reinvent ourselves. And, and we need to take responsibility for that. So that, I guess that's my big takeaway is responsibility, humility, but above all, you got to keep it light and be able to crack a joke and enjoy that laughter, because laughter, that's the happy hormone. That's the serotonin. We all need that. And that's super important in my life. Sometimes I can seem a little flippant because I might crack a joke in a moment that's very serious. And this is definitely a bit of a coping mechanism, but at the same time, it keeps us human. And, I think it's important to laugh. My cousin's little 5-year-old daughter said, you know, in times of corona, we're still allowed to laugh. Oh. And I come from a 5-year-old. I mean, I'm 10 times older than she is, but that's wisdom that I think is very important to remember.
Beautiful. I want to thank you for sharing your daring curiosity and wisdom with us today.
And thank you, of course, for listening. You can connect with me at Aging with Imagination on Facebook, where you'll find links to the audio archive for this show. You can also find them at cjsf.ca under the program schedule Intravenous by Date. I'm Robin Erickson, and I have been your show host. See you next month when we continue to challenge the anti-aging cultural narrative of women in midlife.